In the fall each year we all congregate, the vows all gathered at the church of tailgate. The scriptures reading from the book of Munson, our favorite verse, my God of precious. Drunk and obnoxious, we're Georgia faith, ain't nothing finer in the land. Now the 3,000 of our best friends, it's Saturday in that thing.
Welcome to the Saturday in Athens podcast. We're a Georgia Bulldog show. I am your host, Seth Saunders, and we are joined by our fourth guest picker of the year. We are honored to have Lily Rose with us. Lily is a country music recording artist. Her single In My Drinks is out right now, and it's awesome. So please go and grab that. And probably most importantly, she is a damn good dog. So Lily, welcome to the show.
Dude, I'm stoked to be here. Anything that has to do with the University of Georgia, I'm excited for. But football specifically, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this thing.
So we know you love the dogs, and we're going to talk plenty about that. But I got to tell you, one of the main reasons that we asked you to come on is prior to the opener in Atlanta, I actually left at 5:30 in the morning on a flight out of Charleston to go to the game. And the reason I left at 5:30 is because Friday night, my wife and I were at the Sam Hunt concert in Charleston,
dude,
where Miss Lily Rose opened, and she was awesome.
Hey, I appreciate that. That was so fun. And that it was a cool little stadium there. You guys don't live in Charleston, though.
Yeah, yeah. So my wife and I live like in Isle of Palm, so like right across the intercoastal. Yeah, so we yeah, so it was awesome. We got there super early because we're old and that's what old people do. And we like got in our seats and you like started your set and the energy was awesome. And then like halfway through the set, and I've said this on like the last three episodes, but I was like, you go, hey, look, I know we're in South Carolina, but I'm a Georgia girl and we got a big duck hunt tomorrow.
Yeah, we're
go
going
dogs.
Duck hunting. And
I looked at my wife and I go, oh, this is going to work out just fine.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, dude. I'm still so stoked about, I'm glad you were there and thanks for the kind words. And I know we're just going to talk about Georgia football, but it's hard not to sit there and just reel in that week one win. I mean, we own Bo Nix.
We do. I mean, he is just, Georgia is in every one of his nightmares from here on out. Yeah, poor Bo. Hey, at least they recovered, got a good little win against BYU last weekend. But boy, tough afternoon for Bo and for Coach Lanning. But it was a glorious afternoon for all of us wearing red and black. It was fantastic.
It was. Well, I'm so stoked that you were there in Charleston. And it was a great show. And Sam Hunt and Ryan Hurd are incredible people and obviously real good at their job. So hope you had fun.
It was a really good show. And like, I mean this. You were great, and your band is great too. Like, y'all's energy was awesome. It was just, I was telling my wife, I was like, it's so tough. Well, so first off, I said, do you know how much she's had to work just to get on that stage, number one? Yeah. But then also, I don't know, the energy and like the talent it takes to rev up that crowd and get everything ready. We were just really impressed, and you should be proud of yourself and your band should be proud of themselves. Y'all were great. So keep rocking it.
Thanks, dude. I mean, hey, I'm a big believer in preparation meets opportunity. That's when things really get to work out for you. And villain going viral on TikTok and everything was the opportunity that cracked the door, kind of beat the door down for me. But it all started in Athens, you know, like my first shows that I played, I have so much of my career to attribute to that city. And people ask me all the time, like, well, why'd you leave Athens? And like, you know, it's not an industry town. It's a music town, but it's not a music city. It's not an industry city. So to be in commercial music, you got to be in LA or Nashville at this point, not even New York, kind of Atlanta again, but it's everything, you know, when I think of all of the years of just when the flip book goes, if I've made it onto that big stage with Sam Hunt, it all starts at Boar's Head. It starts on Washington Street in Athens, Georgia. Yeah. And we're stoked we get to go back there and play the Georgia Theater on Saturday. It's very full circle.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up Boar's Head. I do want to talk to you about that. But I know you have a ton of exciting stuff going on in your life right now. And I think chief among them is Georgia Theater Saturday night. I mean, how awesome is that?
Let's go. You know, I've been lucky enough to play the theater a couple of times when I was in school in Athens, but to do it with you know, at a new level, especially with my buddy Travis Denning, who's crushing it right now. And a Saturday post-game Georgia Theater show has been one of the biggest things I wanted to do my whole career. So I'm stoked, doing my best to not get drunk during the game at noon. And, you know, we got to clock in later that night, and it's going to be nothing short of a party.
Yeah, we had Travis on last week and chat with him about it. So, you know, it kind of sets up perfectly. You get a noon kick, so everybody's going to be up and at them, ready to go. Yep. Game will be over by 4 at the latest. Everybody get a quick nap in, straight to the Georgia Theater, and just rev it up again.
Dude, and, you know, as much as I would love selfishly, because, you know, we're on tour so much, I used to go to 5 or 6 games a year. And now it's kind of like I'm lucky if I can get 2 A games. So selfishly, what I'd love to see us play somebody that's not Kent State. Yes, but when it comes to the vibes of an Athens, Georgia win at home, we're almost guaranteed. So I'm stoked.
Yeah, so you brought up the Boar's Head. Tell us about that. I know you played a lot of shows there. That was a place to cut your teeth. And I know kind of a proving ground in the sense that college towns are tough places to play. You know, folks have short attention spans, and there's, especially in Athens, a lot of stuff going on. What did you learn from your experiences at the Boar's Head, and what did you take away from that moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I really wanted to go to school here in Nashville and go to Belmont. And my dad was like, no, you're going in state. We're not spending the money on that. And I understood. I was like, okay, but I want to go to Belmont. It's where people learn. They go and they write songs and they get connected in the music industry and all of this. And that's probably one of the most important crossroads of my life, was going to Athens instead of Nashville, because starting off at a place like Boar's Head taught me how to be on stage. It taught me how to write set lists. It taught me that at the end of the day, who is creating plans for everyone? Women. Women are creating the plans for their friends, for their husbands, for their wives, whatever it is. And if you can write a set list that gets girls in the building, the boys will follow, and other girls will as well.
Correct. Me,
it was this really cool thing of like, yo, I'm learning how to be not only an artist and getting to book my own shows, and I'm booking agent, manager, artist, all of this, but I'm truly learning how to be on stage, troubleshoot if my tuner pedal stops working, or if my guitar dies, or if I pop a string or anything like that. It's back to that preparation meets opportunity thing, that now if I'm on stage in front of 9,000 people in Charleston opening for Sam Hunt and I break a string, I'm not sweating it. I already know. I already have, you know, B plan, C plan, and D plan of what I do after that. And a lot of that's attributed to Boar's Head, and learning how to play with people, jamming to songs. You know, I never co-wrote anything until I moved up here to Nashville. So it's not like I was writing a lot with other people in Athens. But man, when I think of everything that has gotten me to where I am right now as the performer that gives off energy to hype up a crowd, it's I think back to Boar's Head.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories that you told during the show here in Charleston was that you come to Charleston before, obviously, in your lead up to this point in your career, and used to go to home team and play, which I love.
Yep.
UGA folks. Yeah.
Come on. And yep. And I have I'm gonna shout my two friends out, Marley and Ryan Rosenblatt, that I met in Athens. They're damn good dogs as well. They lived out there, and you know, I was just trying to play. There was no money being made, but I was touring 80 to 90 dates a year back in 2014, 15, and 16. And I was like, cool, I can make $100 on a Wednesday night in Charleston, and then I'm going to drive down to Bluffton, South Carolina, and then Savannah. And Ryan and Marley always put me up, and they were the only two people that were sitting in that room a lot of Wednesday nights and in Charleston. And I'm grateful, because now it's pretty full circle.
I'm always interested in this when we talk to people who have chased a dream and chased it down with the tenacity it takes to stay on task with that goal, when I'm sure people in your peripheral world were saying, hey, Lily, maybe we should try something else, or maybe we should try and tack onto this. How do you stay so honed in on that goal, and what keeps you going when you have tough nights, or when you go, man, I just don't know if I can do this anymore?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it is stuff out of your control, personality being one of them. I just have that tenacious personality. I was always like that in sports growing up, and sure my dad wished I had a little bit more of it with the academic side of things, but you know, I think it's personality. And again, something I have no control over are the parents that I was blessed with in this life. And they always supported me from day one. Even when I wanted to quit school and move up here a little bit earlier, they were always really supportive. And my fiance, all these years of being so broke, and she would help me out and buy plane tickets. We did long distance, and her parents, you know, I never felt questioned by her parents. So I was just surrounded by a lot of people that didn't bat an eye at the dream I was chasing, and they knew how hard I was working. And, you know, the best advice I ever got was never have a plan B. And I got it early, and I'm really grateful. And I always kept that in the back of my mind of like, yo, like, you just can't even think about a plan B. You can't think about it. And I never did. And there were more than a couple of nights where I didn't think I could get any more defeated. And why not me? I can play these shows. I can write a set list. I can tour. I'm a kind human. I can write my ass off. And, you know, it's just never on your timetable. And it's taught me a lot now of the patience of, just because I had a song go viral and I kind of got everything I wanted in this career really quickly, I'm back to the steady grind of, yo, it's just patience. And like, it didn't happen then because it wasn't supposed to yet. And you just got to put your nose to the ground and work every single day, because that's all you can control is today. So it's not a career for the faint of heart, chasing it and getting it. It's just not. And I was born to do it. So I'm grateful it happened.
Now, you brought up Villain and you brought up TikTok, and we are new to TikTok because, again, like I said, we're old, so I'm feeling my way through it, but I do dig it a lot. Okay. I think of all the social media outlets out there now, it's the one where you kind of, I feel like you almost get the pulse best. I feel like there's almost a wall in the other ones now, whereas TikTok seems more raw. And obviously you had Villain pop there. So can you take us through that journey and kind of what that was like?
Yeah, I just turned 29. So back during the first year of the pandemic, I was 26, 27, and I felt way too old for that app. And I know that sounds crazy because I even think back to like 26. I'm like, that's a kid. But, you know, the dancing and everything that was going down.
Right,
right. That just isn't for me. Like, I'm going to always stick to my gut of what feels right. And it just didn't. And I saw my now two good friends, Priscilla Block and Andrew Janakis, get record deals putting their songs on TikTok, and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I got good songs too, I can do that. You know, it's like, oh, I'm not gonna sit around and watch other people get record deals with this medium that has this crazy algorithm that just finds the people that if they're looking for it, TikTok will get it to them. You know, it's yep. like, it will get me Georgia stuff, even if I yep. never click on it. I don't know how they do it. I don't want to know. I don't even know how the burger's made, you know. It's it was really interesting. And I got on it in October, and I just started posting away and posting demos. And I didn't go on The Voice, and I didn't have 60,000 Instagram followers that I brought 20,000 of them over to TikTok. The first day that I downloaded that app, I said, if I get 50 followers on here, I'll leak a demo. Got like 37, leaked it anyways. And we ended up getting like 800,000 followers on TikTok in 3 months because of Villain blowing up. And bootstrap thing, just like the whole career, you know. And Villain blew up, and I was my own manager, my own agent, my own label, my own publisher, you know. So I had a lot of meetings that I had to take, and it was a whirlwind and probably the most exhausting month of my life by far. But it all happened, and now we're, you know, hopeful that TikTok can bring something else again, you know, that people latch on to. But the advice I have for TikTok is, and I probably give this advice once a week, I have so many people ask me about it as if I'm an expert, when really I was fresh to it and the shit just happened. It just popped off.
Right.
But the one thing that I really attribute to a lot of people that have had success on that app music wise, and I think it translates to other categories too, just authenticity. People see mm-hmm. right through the try hard copying what other people do. It's a do as the Romans do. So seek out what's working with other people, but do it in your own way. And it's going to work every time.
I'm interested in the genesis of Villain, because from what I read, it was a song that you wrote anticipating that you would pitch it to a bigger artist, right? And you mentioned your fiance. What I read was that she said, look, this is your best song. Release it. Like, let it go.
Yep.
And I mean, did I read all that right? Like, what's the full story behind that? I think that's a beautiful story.
You definitely read it right. Yeah, I wrote that song back in November of 2019 with two Athens kids, Kyle Clark and Mackenzie Carpenter. Yeah, Kyle's from Jefferson, Georgia, but we met in Athens, and Kenzie's from Athens. And Kyle was the only one with a publishing deal. We were just a bunch of Georgia kids getting together to write one time. And we wrote Villain, and we all kind of walked away from it and never talked about it again. Like, when you think you have a smash, you're texting in a group all night long, like, y'all, we did it today. I can't turn this song off. Like, we did not talk about that song again. Kyle sang the demo that day. I didn't even sing it. And it was a story that all three of us really related to. I think the title Villain, I had it in my phone for a long time, because I was like, that would capture my attention if I was on Spotify or Apple Music and I saw that. I'd be like, what's this about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the story is going to be just yet, but we all ended up going through breakups where people just made us seem like the villain when really nobody was at fault. Fall on the sword. You're like, that's cool. Like, you can be the hero. That's fine. We wrote that song and it sat for a couple months, and I was with my producer, who is a killer, like, pop movie theme kind of production kind of dude. And I said, dude, I think I want to just demo this out and feel it out, because I might want to release it for myself. Can you make it feel like Keith Urban meets Marvel? And I think he did it. And
yeah.
And that was, I mean, by the time he got that demo back to me, it was February of 2020. And then we decided to actually record real vocals on it and create a master. It was done by June of 2020. And then I just sat with it. And I had this gut feeling about that song of, after the money I barely had that I spent to get this thing done, I still didn't put it out to the world, because I just had this weird feeling that I still can't describe. And when I downloaded TikTok in October of that year, a couple months later, I put every demo up under the sun that I had. And the only fully mastered song that I had was Villain. And my fiance, Dara, was like, that's your best song. You have to put it on TikTok. And I did. And put it on TikTok at like 9 p.m. one night. And I woke up the next morning and somebody in town that I'd met with one time called me. And she was like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, I'm at the gym. What are you doing? She's like, no, idiot. Like, have you looked at TikTok? Villain has 600,000 views in 12 hours. And I was like, whoa, like, nobody had done numbers like that in country music yet. No, like, not anywhere close. And hit a million in like 18 hours or something. And then it hit 3 million again 2 days later when I posted it. And then it hit like 5 million the next time. So it just went crazy. And it debuted at number one all genre on iTunes on December 15th. So we were sitting there above Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You for like 8 days. Taylor Swift had just put out an album. We sat above her. Just things out of my wildest dreams that I never expected. And it was all trust in the gut and authenticity and feeling what's right and having a good fiance with some good A&R, good ear.
Yeah, I mean, you talk, that was the right play. Good on her. Like, right? that was awesome. And I do think, you know, you talked about the production piece of it. Sonically, it's a different vibe. And I felt that during your show, like, in the best way. And maybe that's just my personal experience, because after kind of reading about your story, it makes more sense to me, because it seems like from reading your story that R&B and hip hop and things like that were your base growing up. And I could hear that. I kept telling my wife, I was like, man, this sound is like, I feel this. And like, my favorite song that you played at your show was I Don't Smoke.
Hey, it's our favorite song too. I'm glad
it's a banger. Absolute banger. Yeah. Cool. And do you know, are you familiar with Craig David at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. Craig David had this big song like in the late 90s. I was in high school, called 7 Days. And 7 Days was cool. But they did a remix on it where him and Mos Def did it. And so it was same vibe, but so Mos Def starts it and then Craig David goes into his piece. But I want you, when we get done, listen to Craig David's 7 Days remix with Mos Def. And I'm telling you, the sounds are like, it's just a jam. And so that's what it reminded me of.
I'm going to pull it up now, so I got it when we get off.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Deal.
And so anyways, my brother and I used to just jam it after baseball games. So yeah. So anyways, when I heard that song, I was like, oh man, I dig this sound. But I think that's the hook, right? You talk about being authentic. That's not a Nashville country music sound, right? Like that's not that cookie cutter sound. And I think that's why it works so well, because I don't know, it's just, it's awesome. So yeah.
I appreciate it. Now it's cool. Cause I only had 3 songs released when I put Villain on TikTok. So Villain was in the 4th song that I had out for the world, in this era of my career and my life. And Matt Morrissey was the producer on those first 4. And then when I signed with Big Loud, I started working with Joey Moy, who is responsible for Nickelback, Florida Georgia Line, and Morgan Wallen, which are arguably 3 acts that have changed music when when those sounds came out. Even though they're all so different, the brilliance of Joey Moy, he is responsible for just eras of, he created the sound and then everyone copied him for 5 years afterwards. And it's really cool that Joey just kind of runs with my vibe. Yeah. He doesn't try to make some songs like what they could be to country them up or anything like that. Sometimes, you know, I'm in country music and I am a country music artist with those hip hop and pop sensibilities, but at the end of the day, I'm country. And I think Joey's just, he's the perfect partner for me creatively of, he just gets it. He's like, no, that's too R&B. Or no, we're not going to cut that song because all it's going to do is drive the country people away, or whatever it is. He finds a way to make it all just feel like a melting pot of, yep, that makes sense. You know?
And yeah.
I Don't Smoke is the one that we use a lot as an example of that, because it's way too pop to have ever gone to country radio. But it's a country enough song that was really cool when we sent it to Hot AC Radio. It was number 36 at Hot AC, sitting with Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Kind
of like, okay, this makes sense. And I think it's just going to open the doors for hopefully cross collaboration in the future. But right now we really are targeting country music. And if we do a little differently, then I hope it keeps working.
The thing is, I think for me, lyrically, that is the right pocket, right? Like country. Like all the lyrics in your songs, they don't live anywhere else. Like that's the perfect pocket. But I think what's neat about it is in this huge listening chamber, right? You get this unique corner that has just a different sonic flavor to it. And I don't know, it works.
Big time. I'm a big believer. And I think that there are so many components of artistry and a song that make people think it's country. Like if you look at Morgan Wallen, the way that he sings songs like pull me up to the shun of Dan, you never ain't around. You know, it's like nothing about that melody and that cadence is country. It's his voice.
Right. Yep.
It's not the production. It's not the melody. It's his actual vocal. And you have people like Dan and Shay, where it's the lyric and the production that makes it country, that's similar to mine, because Shay doesn't have a sense of twang anywhere. Where it's kind of like, I do think I've got a little bit more twang than the Rascal Flatts, Shay Mooney kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's really cool. You know, there are things that Luke Bryan does where there's nothing about the production that is country at all, but his voice, how do you say it's not country? You know, so it's all really cool. And I think we're fighting for our spot in this genre, and people are listening, and it's cool. I'm grateful.
And I mean, at the end of the day, that's all that matters,
right?
As long as they're listening, that's all that matters.
True.
Everybody else can kick rocks. So yeah, well, I love that. Well, so you brought up your parents. Tell us a little bit about your family and the influence they've had. Obviously, most folks that listen to our show will be very familiar with your pops, but tell us about your parents and your family and the impact they've had on your path.
Yeah, my parents have been absolutely incredible. My brother too, he's my best friend in the whole world. I got a little brother 4 years younger. And I grew up in a family of entertainers. My mom, group fitness instructor, and would sing karaoke and entertain people every night of the week if she could, but not afraid to be on stage in the life of the party. And my dad is on the radio. My dad's Hondo on the Georgia Bulldogs sports network. And, was Larry Munson's right-hand man for years and is now with Shock and Zaire and Scott Howard every Thursday and Saturday. And, talk about a dude who's not afraid to be on stage. My father is an incredible host and a talent when it comes to writing and the microphone. And then my brother, he does stand-up comedy. He played guitar for me for years, and he's a singer-songwriter as well. So there was never any question of, do we let this kid chase what is burning inside her right here, whether it's soccer and basketball, which took over my life for so long, or music. I was 9 years old begging my parents for a drum set, and they actually bought their 9-year-old kid a drum set.
That's love.
Dude, I stand this. I'm like, if we grew up in like Nevada where they don't have basements, I might not have a record deal right now, because the basement was the saving grace, because they could just send me down there. But, you know, there are not a lot of parents that would kind of see, every time I get in the car with my kid, she's singing and it doesn't sound the worst. She has rhythm and she's expressed passion for this thing that's going to only cause chaos, noise, and swiping a credit card, you know, money. And they did it for me. And then when I wanted to start playing guitar, they did it and they got me the lessons. And they always just were, I was so fortunate to be able to have a family that can financially support, but emotionally support, and never question, hey, Lil, I think you need to be, you know, they always asked me to study more, but they never asked me to give up the gig to study, you know, and just amazing. So it's pretty cool. I grew up with a dad that in the state of Georgia is, you know, a little mini celebrity and kind of recognizable places. And Chuck Dowdle was giving him a hard time last year, like right after Villain blew up. He was like, well, damn, Hondo, she just blew right past you. It's like, just Chuck being like hilarious. But it's there are a couple of things that were inevitable in my life, and me bleeding red and black and barking at everyone I know still as a 29-year-old was one of those. I didn't have a prayer. My dad is a damn good dog, and just got inducted into the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago as well. Well deserved. And he's a badass, you know, and I've grown up around the dogs. I've been at every big game in the last 20 years, and I'm grateful.
So I know you were in Indy. My brother and I were there as well.
Oh yeah.
Can we first discuss how it was colder than Hoth from Star Wars?
Dude, okay, so I think I forget how cold it was, because that game was on a Monday and I kicked mm-hmm. off the Chris Lane tour in Boston on that Wednesday. So I drove up to Indy with my family and my fiance. We went to the game, stayed the night, drove back on Tuesday, flew up to Boston to actually catch the Bruins on Wednesday night, play on Thursday. So I hit Boston, Connecticut, New York that first weekend in January. And then I flew up to Minneapolis Ooh. The next weekend. And it was negative 32 wind chill. So I think in my brain, I keep forgetting how cold Indy was, because I just got my life ruined with those other cities after that. But that was one of the coldest days. Waiting to get into those bars and you're so excited and you're out there and you're like, I'm going to go watch Sam Hunt and Breland before the national championship. And you're sitting out
right.
there. Nope, I'm out. I'm done, dude. I'll catch you guys on the next one.
Yeah, we watched Sam's show from inside Lucas Oil because we were like, we can't do it. I mean, kick-ass show. It was a great show. It was a great way to start the game. Okay. Hold on, little small world detour we're going to take here. So okay. Chris and Corey were my brother's college teammates at Charlotte.
What?
Yeah, so Chris and Corey played at Charlotte, and my brother was at the same time. My brother caught for those teams. So I played at William & Mary. My brother played at Charlotte. And yeah, they had a kick-ass team their senior year. They won the A-10, played in the regionals against South Carolina, played South Carolina all the way to the regional finals within that kind of regional pod. We spent 3 straight days in Columbia rooting them on. Like, yeah, it was awesome. Like, so in college, when they first started going, you know, Chris would he'd play acoustic, right?
Yeah.
And he would take one of the big ones he would do is he would take Ignition and he would play it on acoustic and like do his stuff. And then he'd like roll it into Backstreet Boys.
So, he still does, dude. He does yeah. Mario covers. He does he does Neo. He does everything. And Corey Lane, who is still playing drums for him, will be backstage and will put on a full ass Backstreet Boys performance, like oh, yeah. dances and everything. Those two are a hoot. They are so.
Oh, they are laugh out loud funny. Good dudes, really, really good dudes. Every time they're in town somewhere, whether it's back in Charlotte or like we have family in Richmond, they're always so kind and accommodating and, you know, yeah. just good people. So you love seeing people like that win. And yeah, so I love that you got to play with them. That's cool.
Yeah, man, we were out 18 weekends in a row with them. So I saw a lot of the Chris and Corey Lane debauchery that went down.
Yeah. Well, the good thing, too, is they're huge sports nuts, too. So it works out great.
So there was always football on. It was great. Well, until the Super Bowl. So I guess football kind of ended. But I made them watch plenty of hockey. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, so tell me about Indy, because what were your emotions that night? Like, did you have... I'm sure you're probably like all of us. I think we all had enough scar tissue where we were all nervous. But I think, at least from our side, my brother and I had talked walking in. This is the most hopeful we felt. And we were in Atlanta for the SEC title game.
I went too.
So that was tough. And I think some of that, too, was so fresh that it was like, okay, this can't be another one of those, right? This has to be the night. This has to be it. And, yeah.
Yeah, I personally, I'm sure – now that I think back on it, coming off of just beating the ever living mess out of Michigan mm-hmm. probably helped with the confidence of walking in there. But there was just something about this team, even going into the SEC championship, where it was like, it's not a fluke that we're here. The talent mm-hmm. is through the roof. Kirby has now 5 years deep into this program shown that it is a serious, efficient, no mistakes kind of mm-hmm. thing that I loved Mark Richt that we just never saw with that.
Yeah.
And before the SEC championship game, I said, my dad and I always were, we always talk the night before and the morning of, and I was like, Dad, if we lose, I'm not going to be that mad about it because I don't think either of these teams can beat each other twice.
Yeah.
I would have been 10 times more nervous walking into that national championship if we had won the SEC championship. I think we walked in with the perfect amount of a chip on our shoulder, but also a, did you see what we just did to Michigan and
right.
their star defensive end, that good luck and everything like that. And I felt secure about it, but I'm with you. It was definitely the most hopeful, but for me, I was in Athens for 5 years. And in those 5 years, it started with the South Carolina game in 2012 when Aaron Murray found out his dad was sick and he threw six picks in Columbia. Wow, that always feels good to go in there and now win in Williams-Brice the way that we did.
Yep.
it was that later that year, the SEC championship with the Chris Conley, the all of that with Aaron Murray, you're 6 yards away from having to go play Manti Te'o, and we would have won a national championship that year hands down.
Yep.
College football playoff. I'm in school. We had to deal with the 2 weeks before the miracle in Jordan Hare was the mini miracle in Jordan Hare was the tip.
Yep.
And the Hail Mary with Tennessee.
Yep.
And there's one. Oh, Harrison Butker coming in Athens and kicking an unranked Georgia Tech winning field goal when they ripped our hedges up. And then everything else that happened in between there. And it was just like, for me, being a student and living all of that in Athens, and then 2018, us just double overtime, not pulling it out.
Yep.
Pulling it out. I have never felt more, not even signing the record deal, I've never felt more endorphins just released, and it was like, we did it.
Yeah.
This sigh of like, we did it, dude. And in Indy, looking around and all these grown men crying, I was like, my feelings are so validated. It all felt so battered and chip on our shoulder. And we did just choke. There were so many years that we just didn't follow through. And something about that team last year. And then again, what I'm feeling even more this year is just the little mistakes and efficiency proves that is not how you win football games. It's how you Nick Saban teams.
Yeah.
It's how you just, you step on them and then you just keep turning the boot. And it feels good to be on that side of the college football world for the first time.
Yeah, we've said a lot and kind of starting post 17 season, 18 national title game, but that, you know, everyone harkens back to 80 and when Herschel was there and all these things, and this is the good old days, quote unquote. And we're very vocal that the good old days of Georgia football are right damn now. And that everybody should be present in that and celebrate it because of all the things that you mentioned, right? We were all there for that. We were all there for losing to UCF in the Liberty Bowl and going 6-7. Like, you suffered through all that to get to experience this, and not every fan base gets this. And look, this roller coaster is just going up the hill. Like, it's not even on the downhill yet. So I don't know. It's been a fun experience. And I love that you brought up them just kind of putting the boot on people. James said in our reaction episode this week, he said, they're just out to snatch souls. I said, that is exactly what they are doing.
Snatch. And Kirby took it easy on Beamer this week too. The fact that we had Carson Beckin 3 minutes into the third quarter, we could have beaten that team by 80 points.
Yeah.
And it just felt good. And I looked, and, you know, of course we gave up the touchdown. And yes, would it have been amazing to go, we're not going to let Kent State score, I don't think, at home. But would have been cool to go the first four or five games without letting somebody score. Yes. But the fact that our fan base was still commenting as we posted 48-7 in Williams-Brice, the final, and they're still commenting only the negative about the touchdown. I was like, man, y'all don't get it. You must not have been there for all of those games. The fact that, you know, of like, hey, that was our third, we get to see our third and fourth string guys in an SEC opponent stadium. There's nothing you can ask for.
I loved it. Some people were posting videos with like a minute gone in the third quarter, and the entire stadium was like barren. Like, dude, all the South Carolina people were gone.
Yo, I'm telling you right now, because of that 2012.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Game when Aaron Murray, you know, had a rough night and threw so many picks, they obviously scored a ton. And what South Carolina does is when they are kicking off, most of the time that's going to be after you score points.
Yep.
They play Sandstorm.
Yep.
And Scott Howard on the Georgia radio team came on, and I that song haunts me to this day because of that night. Scott Howard came on in the my dad exited the halftime show, and Scott's like, we're back here to kick it off at the beginning of the third quarter. Dogs are up 33-0. And this is the quietest Sandstorm rendition I've ever heard before. Everyone was just gone. They're just dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome to watch and awesome to experience. And it is a different viewing experience, because I feel like your anxiety is just way better than it normally is, which is fantastic. So
hey, do you watch College Game Day? I'm sure if you're at the games, you know, obviously if I'm tailgating or something, I'm not watching game day unless it's a night game. But did you watch this past week?
Yeah.
I told my dad this because he never watches game day. I was like, Dad, I've now watched game day almost every Saturday that I can for the last 15 years of my life. And Alabama has been very dominant. And Ohio State has been very dominant. And so has Clemson. I have never heard the analysts of, you know, Desmond and Herbie and everyone talking about, well, guys, I think this is, you know, number one Alabama that's just so elite. I really do think that Arkansas is going to come in there and upset them today. And all they could talk about was South Carolina upsetting Georgia. And I'm like,
yep.
Y'all can't even admit that we're elite. I don't know what it is. And maybe it's the freshness of all of it. But I was like, I've never heard them talk about that. And it was just so weird that every time our game got brought up, everyone was like, well, South Carolina, they might be able to pull one on Georgia. It's like, it when?
Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's a whole different experience. And I do think you're right. I think there's still the national football coverage at large, I don't know, has fully adjusted. Yeah. I mean, Peter Burns came out on SEC Network and made a very solid statement, which I was all about. But Peter, he's been on board since last year. I mean,
yeah.
he's bought into Kirby Smart's Georgia, and I'm here for it. I think the rest of them are catching up a little bit and trying to figure it out, but they better get with the program because
I think it's last week. That's a hell of a statement. I mean, what we've scored 137 points in three games, something absurd like that.
Yeah, and giving up 10. Yeah.
It's against number 11 in a neutral site. I know it's in Georgia, but in a neutral site, and then another 7 and opponents, SEC.
And they looked like an Oregon. They looked like a JV team that day. And that's going to be a just fine football team. I mean, I was talking to James about this on our show to recap SC. They could realistically win the rest of their games. Like, they could be 11-1.
I told my dad right after the Oregon game, I said, I am the most excited not to watch what we do over the next 3 weeks because we don't really play anybody. So it's not going to be the real, like a real test. I want to watch what Oregon does over the next 3 weeks because that's going to show what kind of football team we really are. Of if they can beat BYU, that's at that time was ranked number like 14. And I think they were 12 when they played last week. And then they have somebody else this week that's at least in conference. And I was like, I want to watch what they do against those teams. Not what we do against these like, pay them $1 million to come in.
Right.
And I'm feeling pretty good about it because it's holding up that Oregon isn't a bad football team. We are just that good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the depth is really starting to show. And I think they've built the culture now where it's just the expectation top to bottom. Like you could see Nolan Smith on the sideline in the fourth quarter yelling at the backup defense to be in the right spot and to uphold the standard. And I think that's what's shifting. And I think that's what, and look, last year's team will get a lot of credit for that and justifiably so, but I think you also have to give credit to the Roquan Smiths and the Nick Chubbs and the guys that kind of set that foundation of, hey, we're supposed to be here and this shouldn't be something that we're surprised about. This is where we belong. So I think that's where we're headed.
That's a killer observation of the guys that were the first Kirby kids.
That's right.
And Kirby came in and said, this is how we're going to do it. And they've passed it down. I mean, Roquan, that would have been my first example too, hands down. What a guy.
Oh, he's one of our favorites. He's one of those guys where I feel like I hope history remembers as they should, because I think he's one of the most dynamic players ever to put on the uniform. You know, another one that's like that, who's on staff now, who I don't think gets talked about enough, is Jarvis Jones. If just for what he did against Florida while he was there, but
just the Florida game.
Yeah. I hope he is one that as he continues to get farther away from being a player in the program, people go, man, Jarvis is a guy that he should go in the pantheon type thing.
He's in mine. Absolutely. Hands down on those defensive guys. You know, who's tearing it up. I'm a Titans fan and I was at the game last week against the Giants, and the two leading tacklers for the Giants were Azeez and Tay Crowder.
Tay Crowder. Yeah.
I was like, dude, Azeez Ojulari was leading tackles and then Tay was number two. I was like, man, I'm kind of mad at you guys, but if y'all are rocking Derrick Henry like that up the middle, good for you.
Yeah. It's funny. The NFL has become an exercise for me now where I'm literally checking every game because I'm checking on the guys, like seeing how they're doing, seeing if guys are getting run. Like it's awesome. I mean, it's kind of becomes a full weekend thing now where you just get to root for the dogs, which is incredible.
It's like you have two fantasy teams kind of, because that's how I'm just checking depth charts on, I watch NFL Red Zone if I'm not at the Titans games, and I'm just checking depth charts. like, what number is, oh, there he is. Yeah, you know, it's fun. I'm glad somebody else does that too.
Yeah. Well, we want to pick some games with you. You gotta get yourself here in the battle for the 10 pounds of red. If you are the winner of this, after all the guest pickers, you will have a red, pretty much replica World Heavyweight Wrestling belt.
Oh, let's go.
So it's pretty awesome. And the one we got this year is actually different from the first 2 years. I mean, it's not real, but it's a faux gator skin, which I felt was most appropriate for this. So yeah. So a red faux gator skin belt is what is coming.
Who's won the last 2 years?
So Chase Kelly, 7-6 Apparel, was year one winner. Cool. And Arthur Lynch was the winner last year. He won second to last week. There was lots of people in the running. So it's been a, it's, this year has been, the results have been better. So we had Brooke Whitmire week one, who we love. Okay. He's an absolute beauty.
Yep.
He was 6-4. Okay. Aaron Davis, who we also love, was on week two, also 6-4. And then Travis set the standard last week, 7-3. So all 7-3 right. is the hurdle.
Travis.
That's it.
That's it. I just got to beat Travis.
Okay. I'm here for that.
I'm in.
All right. All right. So first game this week is Clemson going to Winston-Salem to play Wake Forest, who obviously is coming off a great year last year and got Sam Hartman back healthy. Thankful to hear that. Clemson, though, is a 7.5-point road favorite. That's a noon kick on Saturday. Who are you liking that one?
You know, looking and seeing that, like, Wake could only beat Vandy by 20 points and giving up 10. Liberty, 37-36. I'm taking Clemson all day.
Okay, so my co-host James is taking Wake. He likes what they got going at Wake. I'm very conflicted on this. Wake has a defense problem, which makes me nervous. And I think Clemson, talent-wise, Jimmy's and Joe's is better than them. I think I'm going to take Clemson as well. I am buying Clemson because I love their defensive front. Yeah. I think if Brian Breesy hadn't gotten hurt in the opener against Georgia last year, I would have been a lot more nervous for the remainder of that game.
Yep.
So I think they have an elite defensive front, and I think they will overtake Wake's line. I think it'll be a fun game, but I think Clemson pulls away late to cover. So I'm with you. I like the Tigers in that one.
I'm actually too. My dad's going to be listening to this. So, Dad, sorry, but I do DraftKings, and I'm going to throw a parlay down for all my picks too.
Oh, I love this. Oh, James is going to love this.
I'm going to throw like $3 down because the odds are going to be absurd. But
it'll be insane.
I started doing that with the guest picker on game day. I started this week with Luke Combs. I threw $4 down, and if I would have won, I would have won like $18,000 or something.
Yeah, that's the best part about these, like, 10 game parlays is if you hit every leg, it's money. That's what James always does, a big one each weekend. I love a good parlay too. So I'm here for this. I love this. Okay. So the next game we have on the list, I'll tell you for a couple of reasons. I mean, look, this is kind of a sexy matchup now. There were some murmurs that game day might have gone there. Undefeated Duke going to undefeated Kansas. Whoever thought we would utter those words in the year of our Lord 2022, but here we are.
Did you see and Kansas, Duke, UNC, and Kentucky are all 3-0 for the first time ever?
Yeah, I saw somebody had posted quote unquote basketball schools, which crazy. I thought was funny. Yeah. So also full disclosure, 3 of my siblings went to KU. So I'm a little biased with this one.
That's fair. But, I get that.
But KU 8.5-point home favorite. I don't know when the last time they've been that big of a home favorite. But who are you liking that one?
I think I'm going to take Kansas.
Love it. I love it.
I think I've got to take Kansas. They were the first one that caught my eye with the, wow, the basketball school isn't doing too bad this year. And then I've been following along. So I'm excited for them. I don't think that they're going to do anything crazy, but I think they might beat Duke.
I like it. I'm all for that. James is also taking the Jayhawks, and I'm going to wave the wheat with y'all and rock chalk Jayhawk as well. I can't pick against the family, so I'm going Jayhawks. Plus, their quarterback, Jalen Daniels, is having a great year. I was telling somebody today, you know, if they were doing Heisman odds based on actual on-field results and not just name recognition, it'd be him and Stetson.
Stetson now number 2 in the running. He was number 4 going into South Carolina, and now number 2. I'm like,
and he should be. I feel like a combination of, I was telling somebody this, if his name was fill in the blank with former 5-star recruit, with the numbers that he's had this year and the team that he plays on, people would be essentially awarding him the trophy this week. Yeah. But because he's Stetson.
Because he's Stetson.
Yeah, it just drives me nuts. I don't know what this kid has to do to get some shine, but I'm ready for it.
One of the most infuriating parts of last season for me was even after the SEC championship, going into Michigan, fans and friends asking, you think we're going to start JT in the national championship? Why aren't we doing JT? I'm like, you get that you only watch 60 minutes of football of this team a week, and Kirby and the coaches are watching thousands of snaps. You don't think
exactly.
They're like, well, I think maybe Daniels has an attitude problem. I'm like, since when does Kirby care about an attitude problem? He wants the best quarterback, but like under center every time. And I've been a Stet fan since, you know, halfway through last season. I was like, this kid is doing it. Kirby clearly sees something, like, let's go. You got to get behind him. Come on.
Yeah. 100%. Plus, like, he's, I think low key, he's super funny. Like, I'll tell you a couple things. Number one, I don't know if you saw, but, you know, he's been on the social this season, which is cracking me up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, number one, he talked a little shit in his caption this past week, which I was every bit here for. But then tonight on his Instagram story, all the Instagram story, because did you see the story about him coming out and saying that on his playlist is Bubbly by Kobe Calais and Juicy by Biggie? And so everybody's like, UGASports.com interviewed Kobe Calais about being on Stet's pregame fan list.
That's amazing.
Outstanding. Well, tonight on his story, he posted Blues Traveler. So I'm like, he's just messing with people right now. Like,
oh, definitely. It's all like a, I'm just going to play into this. And I love that. I think that's the best kind of humor. Like,
one of my favorite things from him I told my like brother and I told James, I said, this is when he permanently endeared himself to me, is I was watching the Year of the Dog thing. They showed a clip from him, like an outtake, when Jen Latta was interviewing him before the national title game. And she was wearing black leather pants. And he walks in and she stands up and he shakes hands without missing a beat. He goes, did you watch Friends? And she's like, yeah. And he goes, do you remember when Ross wore those pants? I about fell off of my chair. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, we reference that being at sweaty festivals and stuff all the time. Us trying to get our skinny jeans on and off. We're always like, I feel like Ross right now. So
yeah.
I love that he made that reference.
You can make yourself a pair of paste pants. Oh, God, it was too good. I was like, Stetson, you're the man. That is just fantastic. Okay, next game, Maryland at Michigan. I have this on here. Maryland's undefeated. They're probably not real, but Michigan ain't played nobody. They've been favored by 40-plus points in all three of their games. So at least hopefully, you know, Tua's brother's the quarterback at Maryland. Mike Lockett's there. They like to fling it around. Maybe it'll be interesting. I think Michigan's quarterback, Kate, I can't remember which one. You know, they've been doing the rotation. One of them is hurt. So I think they have to go with the other quarterback for the whole game. So we'll see how that goes. So Michigan, 16.5 point home favorite against the Terps. Who do you like in that one?
I hate Michigan. They just keep crawling as the years go by and they keep paying Harbaugh all this money to essentially be a mascot there. But they can't show up and do anything. I just hate them more and more every year. I think they just take up space. But I do think they're going to beat Maryland. My cousin Doug, sorry about your Terps, dude. But they ain't it.
Yeah, James is also taking the Wolverines. And I think I am too. I just think it's going to be too much talent top to bottom. Plus, I generally have a hard time picking teams that have burned me in the past, and Maryland burned me 3 times last year. I'm still not over it yet. So I'm going to have to go with the Wolverines till they prove us otherwise.
Yeah, Maryland's just one of those teams, because my cousin went there. I actually do pay attention to what they do, and I'm just like, I can't bet on them, dude.
No. That's good. That's good counsel there. Okay, this next one is sexy matchup this week. Game day is going to be in Knoxville. Everybody's been wearing that horrible, horrible, horrendous orange and going crazy. Although I will say, in fairness, I've been in Knoxville, had a fun time there. I do want to go back and do Vol Navy, like not with Vols fans, but I would like to like tailgate on the river. That seems fun. Never done that before. That would be a good time.
Never been Neyland. I've been to so many SEC stadiums, and I live 2.5 hours away, and I've never been to Neyland. But
it's massive.
I've heard it's just a little concrete jungle from what I
remember. Yes. Let me tell you which game I was at. I was at the Nick Chubb ACL game there.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. I remember where I was. I was up in New Jersey, actually about to head to the Michigan State Rutgers game.
Long story. Ooh. That may be a story we need to hear.
Yeah, not even a long story. Same cousin that went to Maryland, his sister went to Michigan State, and my aunt and uncle live in Jersey. So I was like, oh, I'll just go up there and we'll tailgate for Michigan State, get to watch that.
Just a little nice afternoon in Piscataway. Nothing wrong with that.
It was cold and it almost went to overtime. You want to know the craziest part about that game? Was Rutgers was down by one with 5 seconds left. And they were on like, maybe not. Yeah, it had to have been 5 seconds left. They were on like the 10-yard line. And I don't know why they weren't trying to go for a field goal. I don't remember the instance. Other than the quarterback didn't know that it was fourth down.
Oh, no.
So they snapped it and he spiked the ball.
Oh, no.
Thinking it was third that's down, tough. And then the kicker could come out with no time left and kick the field goal. And he still – it was – yeah, that is a wild story. But
that's tough.
There are very few matchups that I can honestly wholeheartedly say I wish they could both lose.
Yes, 100%.
But there's just – not even the New York Yankees that I could cheer if they were playing against Florida that I could cheer for Florida. And I do think that Tennessee is a better football team this year. I think we're going to see we're the obvious number one in the SEC East, but there's this thing right now with Kentucky, Florida, and Tennessee where I'm ready for them to suss it out a little bit. And we're going to be able to see who the real number two is. Because in my opinion, they're all the same team right now. They're all ranked between 11 and 20. And it's like, what do you really do? And I don't know. Florida almost losing to South Florida last week and losing to Kentucky. I'm going to go Tennessee at home.
Yeah, James has taken them too, and so am I. I told him after the games on Saturday, I texted him. I said, I don't know if Vegas can set a number high enough where I won't take Tennessee this week. Just because Florida seems to be a little bit of a mess. And look, it's like most things, right? Football's so driven by quarterback play, especially at the college level. And Anthony Richardson, look, plenty physically talented. He's finding his way. And he looks like he's swimming right now. I mean, the last 2 weeks have not been good. And going into that hostile environment, and Tennessee is going to score points against Florida's sorry, sorry defense – it's going to put pressure on them. So, yeah, I think Tennessee could run away with this. I think it's going to be a big Vols win.
Yeah, I might have taken the spread on that one. I think that they're going to run away with it, too. It's either going to come down to a field goal to win for either one of them, or I think Tennessee is going to beat them by 28 points.
Yeah. Okay, next one on the list, a little bit of heart pick. James's alma mater is James Madison, and first year at FBS, and they're playing the sexiest team of the year, App State, coming off there. Game day appearance last year and the Miracle on the Mountain. What an ending that was. Gee whiz. Somebody wrote, what did they say? Somebody said something like, if you haven't visited Boone, it's too late. No, it won't be there anymore.
Yeah. They're going to burn it to the ground. Dude, I listened to my dad. It's a noon kick for the dogs. I'm obviously competing with college game day. If I'm home and I can sit on my couch, have my coffee and a beer and watch game day. But I always have my dad on, so I'm not listening. But I told him last week, I texted him, I said, Dad, I'm listening to you on game day commercials, but these kids are yelling so loud at App State that everyone just keeps laughing. And it was the most infectious place I've seen game day in a long time. And it's at App State again. As much as I would love to go and help James out with this, I'm choosing App State. I mean, you couldn't ruin their day if you tried right now.
He texted me. He goes, I'm taking the Dukes, but it's just a pure heart pick. I can't not take them. I said, I respect that, homie. That's good. That's what you should do. I think I got to take App State too. They got a lot of good vibes right now. And I do think last week it was tight because they were coming off all those emotions from the A&M win. And then we told Travis, did you read the story? They didn't get home from A&M Saturday night. They had problems with their charter. They had to stay in College Station. They go back to their hotel that they stayed at. No rooms. So they had to sleep in hallways and in conference rooms at that hotel and then get their charter at like 5 a.m. the next morning. So A lot of stuff going on for them.
That'll take the wind out of your sails, or it won't, because nothing could.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just still think too, home game, Kid Brewer, and it's afternoon. It's going to be nice.
Yep.
Have you been to Boone? I've heard Boone kicks ass.
Yeah. I've only been to Boone one time, like pulled in at dinner and had to roll out the next morning. We were driving up to Ohio State from Athens, but beautiful. Really, really good food. We had a killer burger and then some dope breakfast the next morning. So
yeah,
Comeback Shack. That's where I got the burger. Ooh. They've got comeback sauce. It left a fond place in my heart for Boone because of that.
Comeback Shack. Okay. I'm going to have to put that on the list. I like to remember places. I went to this place in Asheville a couple weeks back. My first time ever in Asheville, called Tupelo Honey.
Oh yeah. Tupelo is a chain, but the first one was Charleston, or in Asheville.
So they had Nashville hot chicken and fried mac and cheese waffles.
Yep.
I mean, out of bounds. Just yep. So good. I was so happy about it.
Asheville rocks. I'm glad you've gotten to experience that place.
Oh, good town. I would suggest it to anyone. A-plus town. Okay, next one is on the list because I think it's interesting, but I'm a little mad at myself because I'm a big-time rivalry game person that has a trophy attached to it. And I totally negated that SMU and Texas and TCU play this week, which is the battle for the skillet, iron skillet. I really messed up not putting that on the list. That's on me. Hand up. I'll take the blame for that. So instead, we're going to pick Texas and Texas Tech. Texas, obviously, been the talk of college football since they near miss against Alabama. Big win against the Roadrunners from UTSA last week. And they are 4.5-point road favorites going into Lubbock to play Texas Tech. Who are you liking that one?
You know, I think Texas currently is another team that's a little overrated just from what I've seen. I don't think it was the fact that they can compete with an elite program like Alabama. I think that Alabama has this fun thing that if it's not working, it's not working. The entire
yeah.
All four quarters, it's just, it ain't it. But I don't know. There's something about Texas. Maybe it's because I'm still a little salty about the Arch Manning situation. You want to know what? I think I'm going to go Texas Tech here. I'm going to take an upset. It might be my only upset. This early in the season, I'm not a big upset person, but I'm in. Texas Tech.
All right. I love it. I'm here for it. All right, I think you're going to be on an island on this one, but that's okay. I still love it. James is taking Texas. He's rolling with them. I think I'm going to take them too. I think the decider for me, I like the kid Hudson Card, the backup that came in and played. I know he's still a little bit injured, but I liked him. I think he's a good player. I think it would have been interesting to see what happens if Quinn Ewers didn't get hurt against Alabama because they were humming right along. So kind of the what-if game there. But and Bijan Robinson, talented kid, had a really good game last week. I think they can kind of step on his shoulder. So I'm gonna go with Hook'em until Sark proves me wrong. I'm gonna roll with them. So we'll see on that one.
You want to know what? Talk about an impressive schedule based on the rankings right now. Texas Tech, they've got three top 25 matchups in a row.
Yeah.
If we could get Clemson or any of the ACC schools to have two, then
that would be nice. Yeah, you know, they battle their own conference because the ACC is so comically bad.
It is just so bad. But, hey, what can you do?
Okay, the next one is all dogs' favorite teams on the West Coast now. We're all Oregon fans now. We want them to win out. And they got to go up to Pullman and play the Cougars from Washington State, who are surprising. I believe Wazoo's undefeated right now. They went into Wisconsin, got a big win. So, interesting matchup. Oregon is a 5.5-point road favorite. Who are you liking that one?
You know, I'm definitely taking Oregon. I don't think they had their best showing against us. But again, back to what we were saying earlier, I don't think it's because they're a bad team. I don't think it's because Bo Nix is a bad quarterback. I think we just owned him and them that
yep.
game. So I not only think Oregon, but I think Oregon by a lot.
Yeah, James taking them too, and so am I. I just think it's a talent thing top to bottom. They're just, I think, better than Washington State. Now, look, true road college game, you never know what could happen, but I just feel like the talent will take over. Oregon has got some NFL guys on defense, and when Bo is not doing silly things like throwing it to the other team, he can do things. And I think if they balance him out, he can be a weapon. So, yeah, plus I'm rooting for Coach Lanning. All right, one more song for you since we're talking about Washington State. There's a song called The Pullman Song that I'm going to need you to look up on YouTube. These guys at Washington State, the only reason I know this is my buddy from law school went to Washington State. He's like, hey, dude, every college Saturday, we got to listen to The Pullman Song. So he plays it the first time, and I'm like, okay. And then the next weekend he played it again, and I'm like, okay, it's kind of like an earworm now. It's kind of catchy. And so I do not see Washington State Cougars that I do not think of The Pullman Song. So give that a whirl.
It's by Tyrant. Is that it?
That's correct.
Bet. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It'll make you laugh at least. So, all right. The next one, super fun matchup. Old Southwestern Conference matchup. Arkansas, A&M playing each other at Jerry World at AT&T Stadium. A&M is a 1.5-point favorite, which did surprise me a little bit. Who you liking that one?
Man, I will say Arkansas last week with Missouri State and their former head coach, you know, you got Petrino coming in there and just, we almost had another $1 million ATM withdrawal.
Sure did.
From that team. But I do think Arkansas has a little something, and I'm kind of rooting against Jimbo Fisher right now because it's really easy to. So I'm actually going to take Arkansas in College Station. And I could really regret that pick. And I don't know if I'd bet on them on Saturday with money, but I'm going to take them right now. I'm going to take Arkansas.
So James and I will never pick against the Fighting Sam Pittmans. We love Sam Pittman. God, okay. what a beautiful man he is.
He is.
So we are taking the Razorbacks faux show.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote on Twitter, and I thought it was laugh out loud funny, that if Missouri State pulls off this win against Arkansas, Bobby Petrino should pull into the press conference on a motorcycle.
Oh, God.
This is such a silly sport that we love, but yep. Boy, it makes me laugh. Okay, another fun game this week. USC going to Corvallis to play Oregon State. USC, interesting team this year. In a bunch of the kind of straw polls I saw with all the different sports writers, had USC in their projections for the college football playoff. Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley, a lot of stuff going on in LA. They are a 6.5-point road favorite going to Corvallis to play the Beavers. Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, I definitely like USC, but the Pac-12 is hard because they have a lot of ACC-isms about them. Mm-hmm. That even if there's a lot of top 25 teams, are they really?
Yeah.
And, I think that they, honestly, like the other four Power 5 conferences, just get exposed big time. And if they make it to the college football playoff, I think there's going to be some exposing happening, hopefully by
yes.
us.
Yes.
No, I think right now it's kind of hard. Lincoln Riley's really got them back, and they're on fire a little bit. So I'm going to take USC.
Yeah, James is taking them too, and I am too. I just think it's going to be too much firepower. I think USC has got some issues on defense, and I think if they played a quality opponent, that would be exposed very quickly. But I think they could roll out just Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison and be fine against Oregon State, even given Oregon State starting the year pretty well. So, yeah, I'm taking the Trojans too. Yeah. And then the most important game of the week, which actually I think is the hardest one to pick because of the number, Kent State coming in between the hedges to play the Dogs. Kent State already played Oklahoma this year, and I think will be a good football team, just, you know, obviously going to be outmanned. But Georgia is a 43.5-point favorite at home. So this is less of a will the Dogs win and more of a can they win and cover that number, which makes me nervous.
Maybe, you know, I've had a lot of self-reflection since we've won the national championship, and I feel a lot feel very boastful lately when I'm starting to make these bets against my friends in Missouri and South Carolina and all of this. But I stand by it, especially after that Oregon showing. I'm like, yeah, I don't really feel that bad about it. I'm now only, if they're an unranked opponent, I'm only taking spread bets. So this last South Carolina game, when I bet on it, it was a 25.5 favorite on the road in Williams-Brice. And I told my friend who played softball there, I said, okay, I'm not even saying if you win or if I win. We're not talking money line. if you guys come within 25 and a half points, I have to do something. And if we beat you by 25 and a half points, and we obviously did that. So I think we're definitely going to score more than, like, we're definitely going to beat about more than 43. I think at home, we saw what our second, third, fourth team can do against an SEC opponent away. I have no worries in the world that we're gonna stay strong. And Kirby's, he's not going to put the pedal to the metal on him the way that he did, I think, with USC. I think he'll let up even earlier against a Kent State. But, damn, Kent State's earning their money this year, Oklahoma and us.
Big time, big time. Yeah, James is taking him to cover, which surprised me a little bit. He generally gets nervous on these huge numbers with non-Power 5 opponents. So I did not take them to cover against Samford. I just had a feeling there'd be a little letdown and the weather made me nervous because I didn't think we'd fling it a lot. But weather's going to be beautiful in Athens on Saturday.
Yes, it is.
And I think they are going to continue the momentum as they go into the full conference schedule. So I like them to cover this number two. I'm taking them this week. I just think they're humming. And one thing that has struck me this year, and it kind of started at SEC Media Days, don't you think Kirby is masterful at creating a villain when nobody else sees a villain?
Yeah.
It's like he has made it so I feel like they all believe everyone has marginalized your national title last year. You won the national title and it still wasn't good enough for everyone to say that y'all were the best. It was only because X, Y, and Z happened. So what do we have to do this year, boys? Leave no doubt. We're just going to drop the hammer on everybody. And I mean, they've played like that. They have played with their hair on fire since the jump.
Yep.
So, yeah, yep. I'm with you. I think they're blowing them out.
I'm with you, too. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't on game day, but I watch SportsCenter and get up every morning. And somebody was like, you know what? It's just funny to me that Kirby's team is doing so well, but that guy is just so serious all the time. Like, have you ever seen Nick Saban or Bill Belichick?
Right, exactly.
You do realize that there is only one night you celebrate in college football, and it's if you win the national championship. Other than that, it is a game day, and it's work. And then the next morning is back to work for the next opponent. And it's like, people blow my mind. But I really love the tone that Kirby has right now, because there's a human thing about him that we get to see with his locker room dances sometimes, and the energy that he brings on the sideline compared to a Belichick or Saban, you know, like, he still brings this fiery, youthful energy to this team while also a no nonsense, no mistakes, efficiency, get in, get out. And I think you're right of like, what else do we have to do other than kick the absolute living crap out of everyone to just shut everybody up? And I think this week and maybe next week, if we can do another 40 or 50 point win, it's just going to just keep tacking on of people's jaws dropping, because it's a good football team.
Really good. And they seem equally as connected as the team last year was, which was one of my worries, is how do you duplicate that? But they seem to have done that in spades, and it's just awesome to watch. And yeah, boy, it's a fun time to root for the Dogs. So
I just got chills thinking about the fact that I'm about to be in Athens. And what day is today? Tuesday, 3 days. I'm bringing the band. I said, hey, I know we usually that short of a drive we leave the morning of, but if you guys are cool with it, I'm going to get us a spot. We're going to go do Friday night. We're going to hit Terrapin. I'm going to show y'all a night of vacation in Athens and then a game day and play the Georgia Theater. So I'm stoked. Couldn't have been a better week for me to come on here and do this too. Just so even more excited to be in Athens this weekend.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing this, for spending time with us. We love getting to hear your story and love spending time with you. And so before we let you go, tell everybody where they could follow you on social. And then we will also post links for tickets to the show on Saturday night if folks haven't gotten them already. Because make sure y'all go out and see Lily and Travis. First off, it's going to be a kick-ass show. But second, they both love the Dogs too. So why wouldn't you go? And it's at the George Theater, and George Theater rocks. So too many reasons not to do this.
Come on. Yeah, you can find me everywhere. Lily Rose Music, at Lily Rose Music. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And yeah, you guys come on out to the Georgia Theater. Or if you're listening in other cities, you're like, a lot of us that are diehard dogs that live outside the state lines, look me up, come see a show. I can promise you it'll be a fun time. So go dogs forever. And thank you so much for having me. This has been, I could talk to you all night.
Well, you're welcome anytime. And we can attest from personal experience that Lily's show is awesome. So if she comes to your town, make sure and go see her. You won't regret it. So Lily, we are fired up to have you on, and we will keep watching you and keep rooting for you. And as we always close out, go dogs, sick 'em.
Go dogs, baby. Hey, come on.
Hey, George is better now.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.